The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
It is a Tuesday on B&E, and having fun with you, talking week 7 of the NFL, wrapped up last night with a pretty snoozy Monday Night Football game. Saints did win it, though, 13-10.
Heck, we would have a good one on Thursday coming up, except for Adams won't be in the game.
Devontae not playing?
No, he's in the protocol, COVID protocol.
I did not know that. That's not good, because... That's the Arizona Cardinals at 7-0, hosting the Green Bay Packers Thursday night to open Week 8. I have not seen that note that Devontae Adams is in the protocols, but that obviously is the key weapon for one. Those two are unstoppable, by the way, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yes.
The routes and his ability to make the hands he has, and Aaron Rodgers' ability to the ball placement where he can put it wherever he needs to. I mean, he makes throws to Devontae Adams that are completely covered.
Right.
Like, they're great coverage.
He throws him in spots where he can get the ball, and you'd have to make a great play or you have to go through him. He's a big old dude.
I mean, the awareness of the ability of Aaron Rodgers to put the ball wherever he needs to from any platform where he's throwing and then hit Devontae Adams, and only he can catch it. But it's the defensive back's like, what do I do?
I've got to go through this guy in order to get to the ball.
Yeah. It was perfect coverage. But so if he's not there, that's huge advantage. And gosh, you start looking at, the Cowboys are playing Minnesota. That'll be a tough game for the Cowboys. It's a primetime game Sunday night in Minnesota this weekend. If you're the Cowboys, you want to keep pace, right? You want to think about, you're going to win your division. Your division's a wreck. You want to start thinking about home playoff games.
I got to believe they'll score. They're going to get a 40-burger against that group.
Vikings. But they're coming off a bye, too. Mike Zimmer off bye is typically pretty good. They're playing in that really loud building, which, communication.
If Mike Zimmer doesn't get it done this year, he'll be a goner, too.
I would agree with that. I think he's a bit on thin ice there. But Kirk Cousins. I don't like that. Yeah, man.
Kirk Cousins. No, I don't.
You like that?
No.
You like that?
Okay.
You can go ahead and give me the guy that... Carolina Panthers has before you at quarterback.
Darnold?
Yeah, because they're getting about to get rid of him, too.
You'll take Kirk Cousins over Sam Darnold 100 times out of 100.
No.
What? No.
I wish Sam Darnold had that kind of people around him.
Isn't a championship quarterback, but he's a lot better than Sam Darnold.
I'll take Sam Darnold if you give me some of the weapons that Kirk Cousins has. Because Sam Darnold would be okay if McCaffrey were around. That group has nobody.
I gave Sam Darnold a chance here in Carolina, but yes, one player like Christian McCaffrey is impactful without a doubt. But you still can't throw the interceptions.
You can't throw them to the other guy.
Can't be doing it. But that's some NFL chatter. You've got the Saints getting a win, but for the Cowboys, I mean, you want to keep pace because if you're a Cowboys fan, you'd probably be rooting for Green Bay Thursday night. You'd like to see the Packers give the Cardinals a loss because they're sitting there undefeated, right? And J.J. Watt and company and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's a lot of points if those two get together.
Yes. And, but again, if you're the Cowboys, I'm thinking division first, but I'm really thinking bigger picture. I'm thinking, can I get home field and home games come playoff time against these really good teams in the NFC, which include Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who already own a win over you week one, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Packers. I mean, these are all teams you're going to be facing come playoff time. And, Arizona gets Green Bay. If Devontae Adams does not play, well, now that's huge advantage Arizona in that spot.
Yeah, until the Seahawks get a running game, even if Russell Wilson comes back, they got problems. They just don't run the ball.
Well, because they're without Chris Carson too, right?
Right.
I mean, the Seahawks are a pedestrian offense to begin with, and then you take Russell Wilson and the starting running back Chris Carson off the team. Now you're talking Geno Smith and Alex Collins. That's a problem. That is a major problem. This says last night it was Alvin Kamara versus Seattle. That's pretty much true.
Yes.
No, I mean, I've compared the Saints currently to when the Cowboys had Zeke Elliott and nobody else, remember? And Dak Prescott was young, and they run it right. Jason Garrett was on the wide receiver by committee kind of thing,
right?
Which meant they didn't have any wide receivers.
How we doing, guys?
And, boy, they would just stack the box, and poor Zeke would just get smashed. That's what had this happening to Alvin Kamara. But I give Sean Payton credit. Last night they used Alvin Kamara as a receiving weapon, which, again, I look at the Saints. I watched the Saints last night, and I'm thinking, you know, that looks a lot like the Longhorns. They've got one great player, and they don't have enough weapons to scare a defense, so they're stacking this. And Sean Payton used Alvin Kamara as a receiver.
Yeah, he got him out there talking about getting him in space against one-on-one.
Yeah. Which, if I'm Sark, I mean, that's what I got to be thinking about. How do I get Bijan Robinson out of this eight-man box, which you know they're going to have against him?
I know this. Bijan Robinson does not get less touches now part of the year.
But I think they've got to be more creative touches.
Yes,
they've
got to
be. They've got to be, you know, again, I know Sark's, because, you know, you watch this team, you watch a lot of teams. They get to the line of scrimmage, the coaches read the defense, and everybody looks over, look at me kind of thing, and what's the play going to be? You just know with this, if there's an eight-man box, a lot of times Sark's going to change that play, and he's going to make it, you know, hey, Casey, let's go with a throw. Somebody's got to be able to beat that. You got to loosen up that Dave Aranda defense in this game, without a doubt. So that's coming up on Saturday. It's part of a big weekend in the Big 12. Big news yesterday in the Big 12 was the dismissal, the firing of Matt Wells at Texas Tech halfway through his third year out in Lubbock, 13-17, the overall record. Did not make a bowl game in his previous two spots, and the loss to K-State on Saturday, 28-27 in Lubbock, was the end of the line for Matt Wells. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and get some inside scoop on why and who's next for the Red Raiders with our friend Chris Level, who does all things with the Red Raiders, publisher of Red Raiders Sports, co-host of Tech Talk 3-6 on Double T 97.3 out there in Lubbock. He's our good friend Chris Level. Chris, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Doing fantastic, Chris. Thanks for your time this morning.
Wild times in this business sometimes, you know it?
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Chris is also the sideline reporter for Texas Tech football, and I love the name of that radio station, Double T 97.3, out there in Lubbock covering the Red Raiders. Chris, why is Matt Wells out? I mean, it just never seemed to be getting much momentum, and was he just not a good fit, or what's your take on why the change made yesterday?
Yeah, I think that you've nailed it. I mean, I think that there was nothing more to this than just not winning enough. And I don't think that, you know, I mean, you guys saw what that looked like in Austin about a month ago. I mean, that was just, it was bad. And then, you know, TCU somewhat did the same thing to Texas Tech about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That was a home game, unfortunately. You lose that one by 21. And then, yeah, you just couldn't just gave a game away on Saturday versus Kansas State. You're up 24-10 at half and then don't score a point in the second half and lose. And I just think ultimately what Kirby thought, a couple of things. One, there was not a lot of support left for Matt. And I liked Matt. Matt was great to me. I think he's really good people. I mean, he's a class act. They just didn't win enough, bottom line. And it's a results-based business. They understand that. And I think Kirby felt like, and the other people that are in charge, just okay, we're losing support, and there's going to be a lot of movement in this industry with the coaching carousel, and with the transfer portal era here. I think they felt like, I gather, that it's better to act much earlier than much later, if that makes sense. And Matt, you know, after last year, Matt almost didn't make it in December and was almost not retained. And they decided to retain him and then obviously make a change on the offensive side of the ball. And Sonny Cumbie comes in and he's now the interim coach. So that kind of, I don't know if that sums it up for you, but it just, they just weren't winning. You know, 6-17 in Big 12 games. Ooh. Never won back-to-back Big 12 games. And so that it just mounted. And I think that, you know, with the games they had left and knowing what kind of movement could be out there, they just felt like, okay, this is an eventuality. Let's go ahead and get this done.
Chris, you know, I think it all started back a couple of years ago with the Texas comeback with Sam Ehlinger. It just started that the week after that, and it just kind of never went away. It just kind of hung there. I mean, it's almost like Matt was digging his own grave, and just finally somebody up there decided to just push him in.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of bad luck. I mean, I guess, yeah, that's the way we want to put it. I mean, I think that the Texas game last year, there's no doubt that is one of those that you outplayed Texas, I think, fairly substantially for 57 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then for those last three into the overtime, you gagged it away. I think that you can even go back to the year before, and this is just straight up bad luck, but you outplayed Baylor in Waco. And remember that controversial non-fumble that really was a fumble, and the Big 12 comes back and says, you know, we screwed that up. They even reprimanded Kirby Hokut for telling everybody, yeah, the Big 12 told us they screwed it up, and otherwise you win that game, and maybe you get some momentum then. Maybe you get some more momentum if you hang on and beat Texas. But it was just never – you could never get over the hump, and that unfortunately is the way that this era will be identified. And it doesn't help when you play three different quarterbacks in your first year, two last year, and then you've already played three this year, all because of injury. And that's just a difficult way to win.
Certainly is. A lot of bad luck there, but also not enough winning. 6-17 in Big 12 play will get most people, or conference play, would get a lot of coaches on a hot seat. And Matt Wells is out. Chris Level is our guest. And obviously this becomes a huge hire for Kirby Hokut. I mean, not to remind folks of the loss of Chris Beard. You know, had to scramble to keep Tim Tadlock from leaving as well.
Yeah, I've heard about Chris Beard leaving.
Yeah, really? Well, exactly.
Holy cow.
But, you know, the athletic department seemed to be cruising with Beard and Tadlock and you know, the Matt Wells hire. And now all of a sudden it seems to be, you know, listing a little bit here. This is an important hire for Kirby Hokut to land the right coach that unites the program. We've been talking about Sonny Dykes with his connection to his dad, and obviously went to Texas Tech and, you know, began his career coaching high school football out there. Is there momentum for somebody like that, or are there other names that you're hearing, Chris?
Yeah, I think this search will very much start with guys like Sonny Dykes and Jeff Traylor. I mean, they're going to get an opportunity to talk to Texas Tech if that's what they want. I think Texas Tech would like to talk to both of those guys, and obviously they're different backgrounds, different points in their career, but they both have what Kirby and the folks looking for a new coach want, is a lot of ties to this state. And you know, I think that they would, you know, in some ways unify the fan base. And that's what they're looking for. And those guys both check the boxes. I've known Sonny for a long time. He's doing a really good job at SMU. And, you know, not near as much pressure at SMU as you would have maybe at a place like Texas Tech. He may want to stay there. You know, there's just no telling. Now, that league looks a lot different than what he was in. It's going to look a lot different, I should say. And then with Jeff Traylor, I mean, I think, you know, he's got obviously the UTSA program rolling in the top 25 and all those things. So those two are going to get an opportunity to visit with Texas Tech. And if there's a fit there, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't go any further. But, I mean, you're going to hear all kinds of names. I don't think that they're necessarily looking for a Tech guy or necessarily an offensive guy or DME. You know, I just think it's somebody that they can get behind, the fans can get behind, but mainly that's got a lot of ties here and that's just a good established head coach.
You know, how about Cumby? He's right there with you. I mean, are they just trying to – they're not going to clean out house. I mean, he still will be around. I would think that he would have an opportunity with no matter who came in, whether it was Sonny Dykes or Jeff Traylor, he would still have an opportunity to be there. Does he have an opportunity to be the head coach there, or has he not got past that threshold yet to be looked at in that way, do you believe?
You know, I think that's a tough question to answer right now. I wouldn't rule him out. I think, you know, so I'm excited to see what Sonny does with this thing in the next, 4 to 6 weeks with him in charge. He's under contract for next year and the year after.
Wow.
And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of support here for him and in general, just as a coach and as a person. So I would say that if he doesn't have a chance to get the head coaching job, I mean, I think that there'll be a lot of support for the new coach to come in and retain him in some capacity. Just because, and in the offense, they struggled in the second half the other day, but the offense has not been a lot of the problem this season with the losses.
Well, yeah, he's not the one who hurts the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks get hurt. I mean, it's not his fault.
Exactly. Yeah, he's trying to, you know, they're playing two different – he's playing a true freshman quarterback and then a backup quarterback in Henry Columbia and all that stuff. And I think he's improved the running game and all that. But, yeah, he'll – you know, it's. I wish I could tell you if he was going to be a candidate or not, but, I mean, bottom line is if they say they win two of the four, three mm-hmm. three out of the four, I mean, I think you'd absolutely have to consider him as a candidate. I think you know, I talked to Sonny the other night, and he's like, you know, I'm probably a long shot on this deal, but, you know, he's interviewed for Texas State, for UTSA in the last several years, and I'm sure he'd love it, but I think he'd love to stay here as OC, too, or in some capacity.
We will see where it goes. Matt Wells dismissed. Sonny Cumbie takes over. Red Raiders at Oklahoma this week, which is a tough way to start if you're Sonny Cumbie. And the search is on for the replacement there. Meanwhile, Chris, you got Cliff Kingsbury out. And, of course, he's got an 7-0 football team in the NFL. You know, that's one of those that's I'm sure, frustrating for Red Raider fans as well as they now look for another head football coach. Chris, we appreciate the visit and the update. Keep us posted as you hear stuff. And always great to go right to it because you know we know you got your finger on the pulse.
Hey, thanks, boys. I appreciate it. Y'all keep hope alive and have a good rest of the week.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Chris Level, he is the publisher of Red Raider Sports. Find Chris online. If you're a Red Raider fan and you don't follow him, I'm assuming you do. It's just Chris Level, L-E-V-E-L.
Well, yeah, it's almost time for Sonny to get his opportunity. He's been doing this offense coordinator stuff for quite a while, and he's been at good enough programs. If they trust him and like him, why wouldn't he get that opportunity? Because they're not going to pull, as I said, like a Nick Saban. They're not pulling guys like that.
No, I mean, Texas Tech kind of knows their neighborhood.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean you don't go after Sonny Dykes hard. I mean, look, if the requirements are ties in the state of Texas, it's pretty hard to find anybody that's got more than Sonny Dykes.
True.
I mean, gosh, look at Sonny Dykes' resume. He started coaching high school at Monahans in West Texas. He went to J.J. Pierce Navarro Junior College. You know, he was on the staff at Texas Tech from 2000 to 2006.
He knows about the recruiting there. He understands what you have to do there.
And he went to school there. So he understands the culture, the community. Yes, you said it, the recruiting. How do you get players there? Of course, he was there. His father was a coach at Texas Tech. Sonny just seems all too good of a fit for me. Because, you know,
but where he is right now is a great fit.
It's not just
a good fit. It's a great fit. So they're going to do whatever. They're going to come out. They're going to open up their wallets for him, too.
I think
a big purse.
I do think Chris is right that the landscape is changing for SMU, though, that, you know, the best schools in their conference are leaving.
Right.
And they're not one of them. You know, Cincinnati's going to the Big 12. You know, the best school there. They're on their way to the Big 12. BYU's joining the Big 12. That they're not in the American Athletic Conference. But I don't know. I mean, there's a decision to be made. I got to think there's a little bit of a heartstrings thing, kind of like Chris Beard with Texas. I mean, there's something about coaching at your alma mater. Coaching where you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonny Dykes, I don't want to say he had a bad reputation, but it didn't end good at Cal for him. And I don't think the Cal thing was ever a good fit. You know, a Texan from West Texas in Berkeley, California, you know, in the Pac-12, it just was speaking of bad fits or rough fits.
Right.
But it wasn't like he was a bad coach at Cal. Beat Texas twice while he was there. And now he's back and he's got SMU sitting undefeated. I think you're exactly right that the SMU side will come after him hard to keep him. But
yeah, because they've got a good thing going with him.
Yeah, and then if SMU is able to keep him, I just think
if Tech got him, he could still recruit that area. He knows enough people, enough high school folks there too.
Well, and obviously now he's built ties in the Metroplex, which if you're going to coach at Texas Tech, you've got to be good in Dallas. Got to be really good in Dallas.
Yes.
And he's been at SMU now for several years. I mean, you can play that and come to Lubbock. We'll see. I think Sonny Dykes is the obvious choice if he's willing to leave. Jeff Traylor also. I mean, if you look at Jeff Traylor, Buck, you know, Sonny Dykes is 51 years old. Jeff Traylor is a rising coach, but a little older, 53. And that might surprise people that he's in his early 50s, Jeff. But he's, you know, also cut his teeth in the Texas high school level. He was at Gilmer. He was at Jacksonville High School before that, and of course, that's when Texas hired him. Charlie mm-hmm. Strong hired him onto his staff here for recruiting and recruiting in East Texas, if you remember. And from here, he went on to SMU and worked with Sonny Dykes, and then off to Arkansas, and now he's been given the head coaching job at UTSA, and he's built that program into, one of the stories of college football this season. So, you know, I think both, as Chris just said, are going to be real, real candidates. They both check a lot of the boxes you're looking for. Got to know the state. You got to know the high school coaches in this state.
For sure.
But I think I would lean Sonny just because of the alma mater status and his knowledge of that area, of that program, and what the name Dykes means in Lubbock, Texas.
Yep, for sure.
But we'll follow it. And that is just one of the dominoes. Because now Tech's open. We know USC is open. We know LSU is open.
And I believe more in the Pac-12 will open, too.
Well, when's Arizona State going to fire Herm Edwards for the cheating?
What?
Is that happening?
What's Herm doing? He's not doing anything
but
winning.
The COVID cheating.
He's winning. He's winning. Oh, yeah. It's about winning, isn't it?
You're right
there. Aren't we about winning?
I think he's going to.
It's Arizona that's just horrible.
Yeah, a lot of people weighing in. Would Dykes leave Texas Tech or SMU for Texas Tech, knowing that the Big 12 is basically a train wreck? Well, what's SMU in? What conference? I mean,
whatever conference they're in, that dude is winning nine now over the last 3 years, 9 or 10 games.
Says EH, are you related to Sonny Dykes? No, I'm just paying. If I'm Texas Tech and I'm looking for.
He's the first guy I'm coming for.
Because you've swung and missed three straight times in trying to replace. You went with Tommy Tuberville, who's now a congressman.
Yeah, I guarantee you, if you told Sonny Dykes he's going to be there for the next 10 years, he'd say yes today.
Right. And give him a, because that's, you're looking for stability right now.
Right.
The Leach thing, you screwed it up, right? You allowed Craig James to, you know, swift boat that thing right out of there. And he was your most successful coach you've ever had. And then you've just had success. You know, Cliff Kingsbury was a 10 games under 500 coach, yet he's now doing well in the National Football League.
Right.
You hired Tommy Tuberville.
You need somebody to stick around for a while.
I mean, you hired Tommy Tuberville and he.
Senator, right?
He's now a senator. But you remember he left that job to take the Cincinnati job. Remember when he left at the banquet? Like a recruiting banquet?
Gone.
Like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. See ya.
The recruits, hey, where'd Coach go?
He never came back.
He's gone. He went to the bathroom.
That was
he never
one of
returned.
The all-time turncoat moves. But so, and he left to go to Cincinnati, and then so he was never a fit. And now here's Matt Wells. You just heard, you know, Chris has told us in the past that Matt Wells is a neighbor of his, and they're friends. But he has no ties to the state of Texas. He's finding his way. And
he couldn't tell you one good thing about Lubbock.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even ask about it. He couldn't come up with a good reason.
Yeah, that was a controversy of recent that he was asked, you know, what are your favorite things about Lubbock? And he really couldn't come up with anything. Well, I mean, I'm sure if you ask Sonny Dykes right now, while he's got an undefeated SMU team, what are your five favorite things about Lubbock? He would rattle them off in about 3 seconds.
Probably, yes. He'll still remember for sure.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm not Sonny Dykes' agent. I just think that would be a great story and a good fit for both sides. Looking for stability, and as you said, he can be there a long time.
Right.
Or he could be at SMU a long time. It really is going to be a personal choice of his.
What do you like, Dallas or Lubbock?
But he knows Lubbock. He's a West Texas kid. Grew up there.
Yeah, but he's really getting to know Dallas because he's got the money to live in that area now and hang out, right? Yeah,
that area of Dallas is pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
The Hilltop.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not from the far from the Galleria, right?
Says they have a Waffle House. What are the best things about Lubbock, Texas?
They have a Waffle. Thank you very much.
Somebody said there are five? Question mark. That's not very nice. He's a graduate. You know, he went there, played, you know, coached there for a long time. Thoughts on that? Thank you to Chris Level. We'll come.
I've
back.
Been to their 6th Street area in Lubbock back in the day.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They produce a lot of good Texas country music.
Yeah.
Out of Lubbock,
Texas. I was Texas country drinking at that time.
Ooh.
Going there on trips, yes.
Nice. All right, there's the update on Texas Tech. We'll come back. We'll get you the update on the World Series. Game one is tonight. Also, week 7 in the NFL now in the book. Start looking forward to week 8 and the Cowboys side of that. Coming back online after their bye week. Longhorns, of course, off their bye. Looking at the Baylor Bears. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Fun Tuesday on B&E. Having a good time with you. Getting you back in the football side. Coming off bye weeks for the Cowboys and the Longhorns. Both prepping for challenging road trips this week. Texas headed up to Waco to face the Baylor Bears. Cowboys are in Minnesota to face the Vikings. Also, World Series Game 1 tonight. If you missed it earlier, we spoke to Richard Justice, the longtime baseball writer. Covering Major League Baseball for 4 decades. He's now a freelance writer for Texas Monthly and had a good conversation with him about the Astros and being the team everybody hates, but using that as fuel to rally them and keep winning ball games into the World Series. Game 1 tonight against the equally impressive Atlanta Braves for what they've rallied through and the adversity
absolutely,
they've overcome.
Man. I'm wondering if Dr. Lewis would mind if I got myself some hottie sauce today, Zay.
Some of Megan the Stallion's hottie sauce?
Can I get some of that hottie sauce with my chicken? I'll still use a knife and fork, but I can get after it with a little hottie sauce. Have you tasted the hottie sauce already, Zay?
No, I haven't had it. I wouldn't recommend going today. Popeyes does their Tuesday, like $1 for two pieces of chicken. It's always packed. So,
oh, yeah. Hey now.
For a dollar, two for one?
Yes. It's a great deal.
Is it the breast? What is it? The ribs? What is it?
I think chicken and thigh.
Chicken butt or the thigh?
A dollar for two pieces?
Basically.
Chicken's expensive these days. That's cheap.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's crowded on Tuesdays?
You know, get that hottie sauce in there on it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Can I just go by there and ask for some hottie sauce and a biscuit or something?
Like this is the Megan Thee Stallion commercial?
Yeah, her fingernails match the hottie sauce. That's gross, too. Your nails can't be matching the hottie sauce.
I guess so.
Your hand dipping.
Also can't be, Marshawn Lynch can't be dropping F-bombs on Manning and Manning's show.
You know what? I have not seen the Manning and Manning show, and some people are telling me it's not all that.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I think those two dudes are funny.
Do they have commercials? Do they talk through the commercials? Or what do they do?
They go to commercials. Yeah,
they go to commercial?
But, you know, I mean, they have great access to guests. Like they had Drew Brees last night talking about the Saints. They had Tom Brady last night, the GOAT. They had Marshawn Lynch dropping F-bombs, which was good. I think it's good. I mean, it's not for everybody, but that's why you can keep it on the game and watch it or flip it over to Manning and Manning.
Well, there was nothing to hear on the game itself.
Yeah,
except
it wasn't
for they missed Russell Wilson.
See, we had a long touchdown run, you know, DK Metcalf in the first half.
And I was waiting for somebody to come out of nowhere and catch him, run him down.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, Zay.
The Terminator.
There was nobody in the Saints.
Yeah, we talk about Derrick Henry looking like somebody you create in a video game. DK Metcalf is kind of like that, too.
That's what all the receivers look like for the Titans.
Yes.
Just like that.
They're not as fast as him, though.
No.
They're not as
there's
fast
no,
as that
There's nobody as fast as that dude.
But without Russell Wilson, that's a shell of the offense. No Chris Carson running the ball. And then
the old ball head guy didn't get, you know, he got a couple throws at him. He dropped one.
Well, this quarterbacks are important. I mean, and this is we talk about the
Lockett's been around
runs.
For 30 years.
Are you know Saturday in Lubbock? Are you getting the good Casey Thompson or the TCU / Oklahoma State second half Casey Thompson? That becomes it's a huge question for the.
Oh no! Believe me, they want him to run. They want him to take off and run because they want to punish him if he doesn't slide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like Casey.
But he's
got to
run.
Bunch.
No, he has.
He may have to. That might be some of the adjustments.
Well, they're gonna. Dave Aranda is gonna twist and do some other things up front. To confuse this offensive line.
Well, I mean, they can watch the film. They know if they can, you know, do a good job on Bijan and force the game into Casey's hands. And it does feel like Casey Thompson right now, as he's learning the position, you know, I've called the team kind of a front-running kind of team. When things are good, they're all good. And then when they go bad, they all go bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you got to do is look at Casey Thompson after the interception. I mean, he was really good up until the pick six. And after that, you know, they came out in the second half and went right down the field and scored, but most of that was on the ground. I mean, they went five plays, 80 yards for a touchdown against Oklahoma State.
And that's why I'll say the coach, give me something, coach, that you scheme up that's going to be there so I can go to it. I don't have to mess around
with
it.
Casey has to stay confident. Casey has to stay believing in what they're doing.
No, if he's throwing it to the other guy, that's going to be a problem from this point on.
And he can't let one interception shake his confidence. And you know, lose.
Yeah, and I would say quit throwing interceptions, period.
Well, that was a bad one, too, to really a crucial
that was a pick
play.
Six.
Pick one. It was stared him down. It was a terrible read the whole way.
And I'm thinking, please, why do you have this big 6'7" tight end that you've been talking about for the last 3 years? When is he going to become a tight end and catch some balls down the field? He's already caught a touchdown pass, correct, down in the scoring zone.
Yeah, against Oklahoma.
How about out in the middle of the field?
And let's see what the adjustments will be. Texas will need them to beat a good Baylor team on the road on Saturday. Also, Buck, we mentioned the Cowboys playing at the Vikings. You know, the Vikings general manager's guy, Rick Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Spielman. His brother is Chris Spielman, the legendary Detroit Lion and Ohio State Buckeye. Did you see the video of Chris Spielman when the Detroit Lions are 0-7, right? They're a terrible football team.
But they'll try anything now.
But they've decided they're putting Chris Spielman into their ring of honor. But they didn't tell Chris Spielman this. And Chris Spielman works for the organization. He works for the Lions.
Well, how's that possible?
Why? What do you mean?
I mean, they didn't tell him he was going into the
no,
Ring of Honor?
No, they kept it secret. And how about this?
They're going to surprise him?
Let's listen to this. Not only did they surprise him, they brought him in and said, hey, Chris, will you read this prompter? We're going to make a video for our new Ring of Honor people, and we want you to read it. And so Chris Spielman comes in. He's got a ball cap on. He's kind of unprepared for this, but you'll hear it. He gets pretty emotional because he realizes what's going on, that he's announcing himself into the Ring of Honor. Let's hear Chris Spielman from over the weekend in Detroit.
You get half a step to your right.
Good. Yeah. On Sunday, October 31st, we take on the Philadelphia Eagles. We're celebrating the Lions Legends community as part of our annual homecoming, celebrating at Ford's. All right, here we go. On Sunday, October 31st, when we take on the Philadelphia Eagles, we're celebrating the Lions Legends community as part of our annual homecoming celebration at Ford Field. At halftime, we will honor one of the greatest Lions ever. Four-time Pro Bowl selection, he helped the team to four playoff appearances, two NFL Central titles, and a berth in a 1992 NFC Championship game. What are you guys doing here, man?
Hey, Chris.
Keep reading.
Joey probably got emotional at that point. Began to cry.
He led the defense for eight seasons and is the Lions' all-time leader in career tackles, 1,138. Now he'll be in the newest inductee team's Ring of Honor, the pride of the Lions. Congratulations, Chris.
You guys got me.
The staff members are not his family.
Members of the front office staff.
That's awesome. Staff.
And then his family showed up, I believe. They pulled the surprise party. And Chris Spielman, you know him, one of the more emotional guys. And you've seen, of course, his late wife, who battled breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at her side, along with the four children. And just a great story. So, yeah, Detroit Lions putting Chris Spielman into the Ring of Honor.
That's pretty awesome right there.
My favorite Chris Spielman. It's hard. You know, Chris Spielman was born in Canton, Ohio, right? The home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he went to high school, Massillon High School in Massillon, Ohio, which is hometown of Matt Campbell, head coach of the Iowa State Cyclones. But obviously that's a football, that's like Odessa Permian, as it were, to Ohio football. And his father was a big Ohio State fan, but when he was at Washington High School in Massillon, Spielman told his dad he wants to go to Michigan. He was going to go to Michigan. And his dad told him, if you go to Michigan, don't ever come back here. Told him that. Said, if you go to Michigan, you're not welcome back.
Yeah, you can't come back here.
And so he went to Ohio State and became one of the best players in that program's history. And then on to the Detroit Lions. What a great story. Chris Spielman into the Ring of Honor. Detroit doesn't have much to cheer about, but they have him. And they've got Barry Sanders and they've got Megatron.
Yes. And they had Matthew Stafford for 11 years when they did nothing with him.
Oh, and then they beat him this week, even though Matt Stafford didn't play great against his former team.
No.
I ought to be a Lions fan.
I'm good. I'm good with their new coach, though. That guy will do anything. He's sold in the program right now. You know what I mean?
He will do anything.
He will.
And they may end up 0-17. Could they be the first team to go 0-17?
No, they're going to get a win somewhere.
Think so?
Yes.
Yeah, they played the Rams.
Right, Jay, that guy will get a win somehow, right? Because he'll do something really ridiculous that you're just saying there's no way that's going to happen. 4th-and-12 or something.
I mean, they play hard for them, that's for sure. So
they're just not that talented.
No, they'll grind the win somehow.
Yeah, they'll find a way. It's hard to go.
Somebody won't take them serious on some Sunday and they'll win that game.
Well, it's an interesting NFC right now. This says, I think the Popeye special is $1.99. Used to also include a biscuit.
Grab myself a biscuit with that hottie sauce. I'm sure my doctor will say, yeah, that's just what that's what these tests are designed to help you do. Make sure you get enough biscuits and hottie sauce, Buck. Let's just keep up the good work right on through Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, that's too much. I will admit I've never, ever been to a Popeye's.
You've been to the Colonel's place, I bet.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, like, once or twice in my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I almost fell out my chair when he just said that.
I've only been to Popeye's like three times, and I went in there and had some of their Popeye's, you know, jambalaya.
Well, let's keep in mind, I almost never go to fast food restaurants.
Yeah, you know, you're not a fast food guy, no.
Only on super special, weird occasions. And if I do, it's typically Whataburger.
Yeah,
I'm told. Let's get a hankering for a burger like that.
Things that I have now cannot include buns. So maybe I go get some Popeye's chicken with that hottie sauce, no bun. Just dig it into it with my knife and fork because, you know, I'm not touching that bird with my hands. That ain't happening.
You know what you need to do? Because if you want to go.
Or get some gloves. Give myself some gloves. Some of your manager's coach, your coach over there with the Astros. Give me some Dusty Baker
Dusty
gloves.
Dusty Baker?
Yeah.
DB?
Yeah.
Yeah, the big old long Batman gloves he wears.
He doesn't touch anything.
Or, you know, if you are trying to go low carb, here's a tip. just get like you get the big pieces of lettuce, like those leafy lettuce, and you make that the bun around your meat.
Yeah, someone's telling me to do that around around a burger too. What's that? The lettuce wrap burger?
Yeah.
No thanks.
What do you mean?
No, I just go ahead and just eat the burger.
Then you get some lettuce up in there.
No.
Some veggies.
No,
put some tomatoes on that bad boy. Some pickles.
No, I have to ask my.
I do that. Sometimes.
I have to ask my meal guy, and that would be Trey Elling the Third. Is lettuce really worth it to put on? Period.
Just makes it easier to eat. So you can, instead of having to cut it with a fork and knife, you can actually pick it up and eat it like a hamburger.
No, it'll mess up my nails. Still, I'll still get some of that yellow in there.
Hold on, you're the one talking last Friday that you're going to be licking the putting your finger in the atomic nacho cheese.
And I did on Friday.
But you won't put your hands on a chicken wing.
I don't want to put my hands on that bird.
Stick it in that cheese.
That cheese is okay.
Cheese will probably melt your finger.
I didn't have any problem. I ate every bit of it. I didn't even share that thing. I was sitting in that room and tearing it up. Double nachos.
What are you, Jerry Jones? Double handfuls?
I could have gone double nachos.
Handfuls.
But I promised my wife I would only go, I would go one nacho. But I could have done double nachos. Yeah, that night.
Well, you didn't just have one nacho. You had
a whole tub of nachos. Yes, I had the tub. But I could have gone double tub. That's what I should say.
I haven't been to the Burger Center in a while. Are they circle chips? Like, are the chips circular?
No. It's almost like...
Like triangles?
Yeah, like the ones you get at breakfast, like breakfast nachos.
Okay.
Like if you go to Cisco's or something like that,
ooh,
just dipped in cheese.
Oh, Cisco's still
very
doing
good.
A good breakfast, man.
Yes, they are.
Even the gentrified east side, Cisco's gentrified, still rocking and rolling.
I'll still rock over there for breakfast.
Zay's not happy with me because I've never been to Popeye's, so I'm going to have to try it. Where is a Popeye's, Zay?
Right over the road
everywhere.
Here. There's one right down the road here.
Okay.
By your Arby's over there or whatever that is.
Oh, by Cavender's?
Yeah. Stay down that access road there.
Central Market?
Yeah. There's a Popeye's right in there.
Okay. I'll have to check that out one of these days. And today's a good one. $1.99 for two pieces of chicken and a biscuit and some hottie sauce.
Hottie sauce!
Woo!
Zay, I'm going to get that hottie sauce.
We'll be back.
Bad fingernails or not.
We come back. We will set you up for Light the Tower and the rest of the day here on the Horn. Reset the top stories of the morning. It's B&E on a busy Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, by the way, the guy who was a senior when I was a freshman at Boston College also was trying to hit on my wife.
Ooh.
Back in the day. And say that wasn't right of him. He knew that was my girl, along with a few, I could have left him with the one at the 50-yard line if he wanted something, could have had that, because everybody did.
Ooh, you were just one of the many.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Steve Sarkisian's preaching yesterday at competition, right? That made him hitting on your wife made you raise your game.
I did raise my game. I should have been raising my play because I should have been playing instead of that scrub.
So he had your starting spot, and he hit on your ex-wife.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, man.
Well, he had all the records because he came in from the same state. You know how that works. People know that.
Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was a record holder coming from the state of Pennsylvania, so I should have been, and my wife also told him, hey, my guy should be playing in front of you anyway, scrub. Don't be trying to hit on me, senior, trying to hit on a freshman.
Are you saying the coach was playing favorites?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, coaches do that, especially if they're veteran players for them.
Yeah,
they played a lot of football for them.
Yes, played a lot of football.
You got to earn their trust.
Right. I guess I didn't earn it.
Well, eventually you did.
I did eventually, yes.
That's typically how that goes, which goes to the Longhorn side that Xavier Worthy has come here and become the best player like that. tells you where
immediately
how good he's going to be.
You can't keep him off the field.
And how, weak the depth chart was at that position and in several positions for Texas, but we'll see what happens on Saturday. Breaking news from the NFL, as you mentioned earlier, the showdown game in the NFL comes Thursday night with the Arizona Cardinals undefeated hosting the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, but the Cardinals... Packers have confirmed that they'll be without their defensive coordinator for that game because of COVID protocols, and now there's a fear they're going to be without Devontae Adams. He is on the NFL's reserve COVID list 3 days out, but it's not known if that's a positive or if he was a close contact.
Oh, okay.
That they're going to have to monitor him between now. He's on the list. If you have close contact with someone who's positive, obviously you are then isolated until you prove that you don't have it.
And how about my guy Baker? Is Baker playing anymore, Baker, or is he just making commercials for Halloween at the stadium?
Out for a little bit, I think.
And I don't think that's cool, Baker and his wife making the commercials where they're putting chips, nacho chips, into bags of kids and then spraying the cheese from the stadium. That's not going to work, Baker.
Not seen that one.
You got to see that one. These things must take hours upon hours to make with Baker and his wife.
Well, Baker,
that is his real wife, correct?
Yes. I believe so. I haven't seen the commercials, so, but I believe they've made commercials together. And yes.
You don't see those, do you?
I don't watch commercials.
I'm not down with the one with Halloween. You can't. Kids don't want nachos in their bag.
Maybe I'll see it tonight because I do watch the commercials during the World Series.
Yeah, they'll have that one.
I don't usually change that channel. Do we have it, Zay?
Progressive presents At Home with Baker Mayfield.
Trick or treat!
Can you hold this for a second? There you go. Some for you. Some for you.
Oh, ho, ho. Who likes nachos?
And one for Mr. Cowboy. Happy Halloween. Enjoy.
And they look at that dude like he's nuts.
Golly, they just get cuter and cuter every year.
He's squirting cheese into their bags with the nachos.
Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not okay, Baker.
Yeah, that's worse when I was giving away toothbrushes in 1 year. And I got the looks from the kids.
That's when you got the smoke bomb.
That's when I got smoke bombed, yeah.
Hey, how about this, though? You know, the cancel culture is out. I saw this columnist at Yahoo Sports. Remember we played yesterday Tony Romo with his off quip about Tom Brady's wife, Giselle?
Yeah.
That the guy's going to get a white. Well, someone has taken issue with that.
Come on.
Tony Romo's crude Giselle Bundchen quip is problematic beyond tarnishing Tom Brady's historic moment. Tony Romo must be checked.
No.
For treating
supermodel,
an accomplished woman like Giselle Bundchen is a piece of property.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for hottie sauce talk.
Probably. Yeah.
And bad nails.
But in an instant Sunday, Giselle was reduced to a piece of property that should be passed around like a bowl of Halloween candy or a piece of memorabilia.
I don't know if it was all about that.
Hey, lighten up, Alice. He was making a joke.
Oh my goodness! Back to training for you, sensitivity training.
Yeah, Romo's back to sensitivity training.
Yeah,
you know, I think he was making a joke.
I think he was too.
Isn't all comedy and jokes based in like satire? Like,
is Tony Romo a comedian now? Some would say on some Sundays he is.
Clearly, Tony Romo has no respect for Mrs. Bundchen.
I'm pretty sure he has.
Yes.
He just was making a joke.
Hey, Buck, have a good Tuesday.
All righty.
Be safe out there. Be part of the solution, not the problem. And go get some of that hottie sauce.
Give me that hottie sauce for lunch.
Yeah. Zay, you too. Be safe. I'll try to get to a Popeyes at some point. And remember, if you missed any part of our show, including Richard Justice, the award-winning baseball columnist was with us. He was great talking Astros baseball. Also, Chris Level with the latest on what's going on in Lubbock with the Red Raiders head coaching position. That was this hour. And we'll do more of that tomorrow on a Wednesday edition. Coming up.